is the New York State AFERD podcast entitled A through Z Health and PE. We are your co-hosts, Drs. C and C, the true Pan-American connection. I am Clancy Seymour, and my tag team partner is the one and only Dr. Victor Ramsey.
Details highlighting our episodes, guests, contact information, publications, and other useful resources will always be included in the podcast show notes. For more information about New York State AFERD, please visit newyorkstateaferd.org or Facebook and social media handles at New York State AFERD. Let's embrace the journey, and now, on to our show.
Greetings, listeners. I'm Dr. Clancy Seymour with my co-host, Dr. Victor Ramsey. Doc, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you so much. Indeed, the weather down here in Brooklyn, New York is fabulous. It's 50. I know to some people that may appear as if it's still cold, but for me, it's almost like summer whenever I feel the temperature like this. But it's an honor for me to be here again once again with you and our audience. And thank you so much again for this opportunity.
Of course, Dr. Ramsey, you're right. Yeah. For our listeners, we're in February of 2022. So in the Northeast, we're certainly in a colder part of the year, but we're looking forward to the warmer months to come, and Super Bowl weekend too. For anybody chronologically, we're on the precipice of the Sunday Super Bowl between the Cincinnati Bengals and
the LA Rams.
And then the
mayors were talking about their bids.
Yes,
they were bidding on, and just ironic that they're addressing the winnings, or they're using their winnings to support hospitals in their respective cities. And also I heard education and I heard students. So this was something that resonated with me as an educator. So
yes,
I thought it was great.
A worthy cause.
Yeah. Other than the jersey, you know, just like when the hockey players do their jersey. Brandish their jerseys.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Well, speaking of Super Bowl contenders, our guest is from, not quite Kansas City, but nevertheless, the state of Kansas, which we'll talk about in a second. But let's introduce. We're going to first and foremost say welcome to the New York State AFERD A through Z Health and PE podcast. In this episode, we will be interviewing Ms. Angelica Grayson, who serves as the women's head flag football coach at the University of St. Mary in Leavenworth, Kansas. This is extremely exciting, Dr. Ramsey. We are truly honored and excited to have Coach Grayson on the show. Coach Angelica Grayson is the first head flag football coach for the University of St. Mary's. She's also a Women's National Football Conference Texas Elite Spartans linebacker who has received awards in women's tackle football, including the first class of the Women's Hall of Fame 2018, and a world gold medal for Team USA in 2017. Not only is she a player with the TES, that's for all of our listeners, the Texas Elite Spartans. Yes, I'm listening here, right? She's also considered a player coach. That's impressive. Where she plays and coaches while fulfilling both roles as she slowly transitions to another journey and part of football. Grayson is one of the NFL's flag football ambassadors traveling to Egypt and adding an international coach to her resume while sharing the love of the sport of football. She's one of nine that was selected to be part of the Bill Walsh Diversity Coaching Fellowship with the Washington football team, now the Commanders, in the summer of 2021 with the NFL. After her first inaugural season with the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, the team was recognized as a team of character, which focuses on community service and core values. Her program was presented with a banner that is now hung up on the rafters at the university itself. With the foundation now in place, Coach Grayson's legacy and vision for the program will remain in place for the many years to come. Angelica graduated from Grambling State University, another impressive institution, with a Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology and a concentration in sport management and minor in coaching. While there, she joined Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated and was voted the captain of her volleyball team. So a multi-versatility athlete. That's impressive. Sure. Okay, so Dr. Ramsey, this segues nicely to our topic today. When we chatted about this episode, you had envisioned the need to discuss the importance of and the growth of women's sport and its relevance to Title IX. Tell us more. What do you think?
Absolutely. Indeed, this has this is just, again, impressive to have someone of this caliber on our show today. And I would like to start off by asking Coach Grayson to please share with our listeners why you became a football coach, and tell us a bit about your background for playing football yourself.
Aside from what I already read.
Yeah. How did that come about? How did that come about?
Welcome, Coach Grayson. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And to hear you read that, I kid you not, I'm like, whoever that is, they're the bomb. Like, it's, it's me, you know. To hear somebody else read that, because sometimes I feel like my story, you know, it's just okay. But, you know, but I'm realizing that my story says a lot and it helps other people.
Okay. So I typically don't answer a question with a question, but my thing is, why not football? And I say that because being around it and having played it is very exciting for me, and it's gratifying for me, and I can sleep at night. And so being able to pass on the love and passion that I have to this next generation, not only to the guys, but the other half of the population, which is to the females as well. And I'm recognizing that I'm also one of the pioneers, one of the leaders, because there's many of us that are out there. And I'm just glad that I'm able to help put my own twist or my own seasonings, if you will, to the sport of football.
That is awesome. I know that you, of course, recently came back from playing, so I was quite impressed. And your recovery rate was just quick, because you said, I'm ready to go back again. So that's great to hear. Thank you.
Indeed. Now, Coach Grayson, you mentioned, our introduction certainly talked a little bit about your highlights, but tell us about your background more in football and how you became where you are now in terms of the journey.
Well, I was a middle school PE teacher for some years.
Hey,
and I taught.
PE teacher.
We're the best, you know. Yes. It's a non-tested subject, you know. And I will say I was a teacher of the year a few years ago as well. And so not very many.
Congratulations. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Because, you know, not a lot of PE teachers, you know, get recognized and noticed, you know, for the things that they do in regard outside of our own gym, if you will.
Music to my ears, Coach Grayson. We are very important in the well-rounded education of each child. Physical education, indeed. Well done.
Yes. Well, thank you. So being involved, and actually I started off being involved as far as a player coach with my team that I play for, the Texas Elite Spartans. And so as I'm transitioning and learning the coaching aspect of football, like I can coach basketball, track, volleyball, most of those sports, but to learn it and to play it at the same time was very different. So I had to separate the two. I had to separate with being a player and separate with being a coach. And so I'm blessed enough to have my teammates in the organization of Texas Elite Spartans to trust me with the information that's being given and to have confidentiality at the same time. And so I'm very well respected by my teammates, my peers, and the coaching staff of the organization. And at the middle school level, my first year working at Summer Creek Middle School in Crowley, Texas, that's where I actually matriculated my education from my kindergarten year all the way up to my senior year in the district of Crowley ISD. So I got to give back in a different way as teaching and coaching. So at this middle school, my first year there, I asked the coaches if it was okay that I volunteered. And so I just wanted to see how the young men retrieved me. And as long as they were getting better, they were going to listen. Didn't matter, you know, that I'm a female coach. I was just a coach. And from time to time, I remember one gentleman in particular, I was trying to show him how to come off the line. And so he was like, well, I'd rather do this. Da, 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 da. And I was like, okay. I said, come on in. Let's you and I go head to head.
Huh.
So he had on his helmet and pads. I did not, but I knew I could handle him, you know, it wasn't like he was 6'2", 250, and not like that. So I'm a technique person. And so he and I went head to head, and then I grabbed him in his chest and drove him back about 7 yards. And he was like, wow. No, Coach Grayson, you didn't have to do all that. Yeah, yes, I did have to do all that. So that way you can see the technique that I'm using. And so from there, he was able to take in what I was saying. And then he was pretty successful throughout his season. And so from that next year, talked to the guys and just like, hey, I want to coach. Y'all know what I do, my off time. You know, I enjoy volunteering with you all. How can I get on staff? You know, we talked to the athletic director, we talked to our principal, and everybody was on board. And so I was able to coach the linebackers and coach special teams. And so that's when I'm just like, okay, all right, all right. And so the things that I learned there, I can kind of take it back to my Texas team. And the stuff I learned with my Texas team, I bring it back to the middle school boys. And so a record was set. We were undefeated 2 years in a row, going 16 games to zip. And so we were district champs, and to coach them in seventh grade and turn around and coach them in the eighth grade for me was a phenomenal moment. And I say that because I was a part of their success. I was a part of who they are as people. And now these gentlemen now are getting ready to graduate. They'll be seniors this coming up. And some of them have already got D1 offers. And so for me, it's like, okay, I'm doing something. You know, Lord, keep guiding me, keep teaching me, because I'm listening and I have that growth mindset to receive the information to do it. And so as I continue to be a player coach with the Texas Elite Spartans, like I said, I'm very respected with my peers and the staff alike. And I can flip the switch between being a player and being the coach. The players trust me as a player, where I don't go back and be like, oh, let me tell you what so-and-so said. I don't do none of that. I keep a confidentiality, and I give them a level-headed answer or something that I would do. And they would listen to what I'm saying, and they would go with it and literally run with it and become better people.
That is so awesome.
Transitioning to me was easy. I feel like I can coach anybody as long as they have that growth mindset to receive the information that I'm given.
Wow. Awesome. I'm impressed. Awesome. Yes. And you use something that many of our listeners who are coaches, I heard the word technique. So I heard skills. Oftentimes, we think it's only the power, but it's also the technique that goes in hand with whatever instruction you're trying to give to an athlete. So I appreciate hearing that.
Yes, because I'm small. Mm-hmm. Small. So I have to have some type of technique to take down, you know, 250, 275 pound running backs.
Sure.
And so, you know, have I been blown up before? Yes. Do I like it? No. And so I figured out how to perfect my craft. I'm just like, well, you can't run without legs.
Right.
And so I take the legs away from the game.
Sure. Well, it's interesting too, because you mentioned, and Dr. Ramsey mentioned technique, and obviously critical, but technique also accompanied by credibility, right? And that you mentioned the small example with one of your athletes and being able to establish that credibility. I think that's important too. You obviously know what you're doing. You know, before the show, we chatted about your background and you know, how you came to be, and you even mentioned wrestling as a sport that you like to complete, or you'd like to do at a younger age. I mean, there's a lot of similar facets here. And so, an important point to consider. Tell us about, because you're kind of you dabble into flag football and tackle football. Tell us about both. For when it comes,
they're both fun. There's a lot of drills that you do in football that you can transition over the flag. Case in point, you've got the pursuit angle. Your pursuit angle is not going to change in flag, and it's not going to change in football. And so, in doing so, those drills are pretty much similar. In how you run them and how you teach them. So there are certain things that are transferable, and there's certain things that are not. For example, I don't teach my girls, you know, how to jam people off the line. Why? Because we don't jam people off the line. But when I get with my team in Texas, we teach that. We, you know, I'm able to know, okay, this is football, this is flag. I can separate the two. There's a couple of drills that I learned when I was with the Washington football team Commanders now. That's going to take some time. There are some drills that I learned with them that I was trying to figure out, okay, how can I bring this back to my team, but make it more flag based? And so I actually sit in my office or sit at home, and I'm like brainstorming, and I'm thinking, okay, this could work. Well, let's try this. And so, you know, being an educator at heart, we improvise everything that we do already. And so somebody can come in your classroom at the last minute and say, hey, this is about to happen, woo-woo, and then you have to figure out how you're going to make it work.
I love it. It creates some music to my ears. And you mentioned the pedagogy, the education at heart. You mentioned tackle versus flag. While related in a lot of ways, there are nuances, right? But good coaches, good teachers, good educators take components from other endeavors that might mm-hmm. apply and obviously modify it. And that's a perfect example. We can take the best drills and features of other sports that might apply in our practices and game situations for another sport and try to make it fit. And that's what mm-hmm. good coaches, good teachers do. I love it.
Thank you. There's a basketball drill because I used to be the head basketball coach when I was teaching. And there's a basketball drill called four-corner passing. In four-corner passing, there's a lot of moving parts. And you can get up to about two or three basketballs if you want to. And so in teaching that with my ladies, we did it with tennis balls instead of basketball. So that way they have to, it's a communicating thing. They have to talk and they have to call each other's name.
Sure.
And so it's making the ladies communicate in their real life outside of football. And it's also making the ladies communicate on the field.
Some team building and character to go with it. Exactly. Yes.
Wow. Yes.
I love it.
I do a lot of PE stuff into play.
Sure, is immense, indeed. Yeah.
So yes,
that's impressive. So tell us more about flag football as a collegiate endeavor in the United States.
Oh my gosh, my thing is why'd it take so long? But yeah.
Sure.
Considering that it started last year and we were part of the 13 schools that participated in NAIA flag, I'm glad that they have it. I'm glad that they see a purpose. And I'm glad, when I mean they, the people who make the decisions, I'm glad that they see girls the end of the avenue. The ladies, the women need another place to showcase their skills besides what we would consider the traditional sports. And my thing is, why not have flag? Why not? We're just as aggressive as our counterparts, and we get told, you're too this or you're too that, or, don't be too smart, but just it's to be there in the forefront and to help guide these ladies and let them know that they are royalty and they are someone and they do mean something, lets them know that they can not only play at the college level, but these ladies that are playing right now, they have no idea that this game is bigger than them. Sure. So although they're playing it because they love it, they have no idea the magnitude of how many shoulders and backs that they are standing on right now. Well, and once they understand that, I believe the game is going to be taken even more seriously. And eventually, I hope that we can offer full scholarships and eventually, potentially, the D1s, 2s, and 3s, NCAAs will eventually have it.
Oh, and that's I'm glad you brought that up. And that's gonna kind of my next question. But before even that, you mentioned it's taken so long as a collegiate endeavor. What are some of the other schools you compete against? Tell us some of the other teams. You mentioned 13 teams.
Yes. I'm in the Midwest. And so I nicknamed us because, I needed something to find that would stick. And so I called us the Midwest Five. The Midwest Five, there's three schools in Kansas that started. So it's my school, the University of St. Mary. You have Ottawa University in Ottawa, Kansas, and you also have Kansas Wesleyan University out there in Salina, Kansas. So my school sits in between those other schools. So there's a school in Nebraska, that school is Midland University, and then you have a school named Cody College, which is an all-girls school that sits in Nevada, Missouri. And so all five of us compete against each other. And so we can't wait to get other schools to join in so that way we're not wearing each other out by the time we play, before we play the East Coast. So the East Coast, so many teams. We even have Xavier that's a part of it down south in New Orleans. We have, I believe, about five schools in Florida, all the way from Weber International, Florida Memorial, St. Thomas University.
Wow.
There's a lot of them. Wow, and there's even more schools that's developing as we speak.
Sure.
And there's a coach right now that I'm gonna put out there. Her name is Angela Rowe. And, in the football terms, we used to call her like Death Row, like Death Records. We called her Death.
Wow.
And she was my foundation of me becoming who I am in regards to a linebacker. She gave me the foundation. She gave me, you know, learning my gaps, ABC, you know, she helped me with the foundation of being a linebacker. And so today, I paid it forward. She is now going to be the head flag football coach at Bethel College here in Kansas.
Nice.
And so we're all around. A new school just came out at Reinhardt University. She's awesome. One of the players, I used to look up to her when I first started. She hates it when I say that, but it's true. When I first started playing in Atlanta, she was one of the lines. We both wheel linebackers. For the listeners, that is a weak side linebacker.
That's good.
Sure.
So we say Will for short. And I used to look at her tackle and I used to say, dang, you know, ooh, I wish I could be, you know, similar. And then years down the road, now she's the head flag football coach at Reinhardt University, right outside of Atlanta in Georgia. And well,
we're
all connected in some way.
But it speaks to your character that you remember where you came from.
And homage. Right.
Recognizing Coach Rowe. That's awesome.
Paying homage. That's right.
And yeah, passing now, the torch. Coach Grayson, you mentioned the huge potential of the sport to grow. Is the sport sanctioned right now by the NCAA?
No.
Okay. So it's not sanctioned by the NCAA.
So how I look at it is they're watching. They're looking at what NAIA does. So NAIA was the first to do it. And I believe they're going to look to see how much the sport is going to grow and even if it's even worth having it on their campus. And I know a lot of the schools are already balanced with sports, but at this point, look at what sports are successful on your campus on the women's side and which ones aren't. So that way you can figure out, we might need to revamp and rethink and redo some things.
Sure.
And so if they do that, then I think that this sport is going to spread like wildfire. Like you have, you know, the Big Tens and the Pac-12s and all that. Soon that's going to be us. That's going to be a conversation. Hey, what did you think about that team that played the other day? Oh, that girl was bad. Like, that's the conversations that we want to see on ESPN.
Sure.
That's right.
When you reference balance, you're referring to Title IX and that having the same amount of women and men opportunities in sports to balance from a Title IX perspective, and that's an important point.
Yes,
absolutely.
When you say they, that's kind of what we're talking about here, the NCAA. or the conferences and the administrations to recognize this sport moving forward.
Yeah. Yes. So in speaking about Title IX, how do you think the growth of a women's flag football tech could help support Title IX while empowering women? We heard you earlier talk about having these young women feel gracious and feel empowered. How does that the growth of this sport support Title IX and empowering women?
That's a great question. The fact that it's even here now is a start.
Got it.
To me, you know, it started off as a mustard seed. Somebody watered it, and it's now beginning to sprout into a beautiful plant. And you know, you've got your plant killers out there too, that disagree with just girls, women, ladies doing anything outside of the mind of their norm. You have to be able to, you know, women, you know, we like to fight, we like to punch, we like to hit, we like to kick too. We're not always dainty, and it's okay to not be dainty and still go rah, rah, rah on the field, but then come back and still wear a skirt and some heels or however comfortable you're going to be. And so I believe you can do both. I believe that just the sport continuing to be watered like it is right now, and eventually it's going to be all over across the United States. It's just a matter of time. And I hope and pray, and Lord says the same, that I'm there to witness that. You know, I hope I'm not, you know, 50 years old by the time it gets to the NCAA. If that happens, great. But I feel like it should be a whole lot sooner, because it's now going to be in the Olympics in 2028. It's going to be in LA already. And so why not have it at the college level if the high schools are starting to get it? And so since I'm out of Crowley, Texas, which is outside of Fort Worth, Texas, I've been communicating with Dr. Lisa Langston. She actually has her own basketball records out of Texas A&M, by the way. She and I have been communicating for the last year and a half now via email. Never met her in person, but we did talk via Zoom. And I presented to her just out of my own own will. No one told me to do it. Nothing. I just went to her to convince her, not convince her, but just to talk with her about why she should have flag football in Fort Worth ISD. And so with that presentation, she was telling me, she was like, you came in right on time, because they were looking at other sports to potentially add. But she was like, well, flag football was the one that most of the ladies voted on. And so with that vote, you know, I gave her the resource of who to contact and, you know, how to get your flags, you know, and she ended up having the Dallas Cowboys assist with having the first jamboree last weekend in, well, not this past weekend, but the weekend before last, February 5th, to be exact, at the AT&T Stadium. They had tons of girls there who are interested in flag football. And so they're going to have flags starting next month in March of all ladies in high school. Wow. Who are going to have it. And just the, like I say, all it took was a mustard seed. So, you know, I'm not going to say, I'm not giving myself credit with anything. All I had to do was just tell her. Yeah. That's right.
But you're empowering and you're advocating for the sport, and you're making a statement by doing what you do, coach. And that's commendable for sure.
And changing changing the grain, right? Changing the grain, changing lanes. You know, you mentioned a really important point. I discuss, as a teacher educator, I discuss with my students a lot that if women were at the table when movement experience decisions were made a long, long time ago, what would we be heralding now, right? Sure. And so I think you
this
make
is true. Point.
So that's important. Well said. So another question for you, Coach Grayson. As an African-American female coach,
mm-hmm.
And a woman, what positive experience have you countered now with flag football and the sport and coaching? And then, of course, what challenges do you still continue to face?
Let me start with the negatives that I continue to face. So I'm going to be real frank, since we're on the podcast and everything. So I already have two negatives being brought into this world. One, being a female, two, being a Black female. And so I'm battling that all the time.
I'm sure.
And so there's sometimes people can say things, but they don't know what they're doing is considered, I guess you would say, wrong per se, or not proper or not political, whatever. But I don't mind trying to make that correction, but it, you know, in my own nice little way. You know, hey, that's not right. You might want to, you know, change the verbiage on that one. You know, sure. There always are going to be negatives with it, with whatever you do. You know, you can be the president of the United States, or you can be have the worst job of them all. But either way, there's going to be negatives in it. And so I'm one of those people that look for the silver lining. And so for the silver lining in that, that's where the positives come. And so the positive that come from that is just having these girls reach out to me. Hey, coach, you know, I like your energy. I would love to play for you. Hey, coach, I saw you somewhere and I wanted to talk with you, but I was nervous. Like those are the things that help keep me going. Much like, you know, when you're teaching and you sometimes, you know, we quit every day in our mind, you know, every day in our minds, especially, you know, post-COVID. And so there's sometimes where you're just like, dang, I can't do this anymore. This is getting so frustrating. But you've got that one student or you've got that one parent that says, hey, thank you for doing this, this, and this. And thank you for pushing my little girl. And then when they do that to me, I'm like, oh, I got a whole nother year left then. You know, it gave me that extra push for me to keep going. Because there are going to be some challenging days. It's challenging sometimes in the world of flag where sometimes you don't get all the information everybody else gets sometimes. You have to find your way through. And the way I built, what I'm built and the way I operate, you know, people say, hey, you know, you know, one door closes, the other door opens, and knock on that door and somebody's going to answer. At this point, I'm kicking down that door. I'm playing Santa Claus. I'm coming down your chimney. I'm going to do something. And so sometimes the door is not there to be created. You have to actually do something else outside of creating that door. And you might have to, you know, come in at a different angle per se. Because sometimes going through the door is not always it. If I got to go through the side door, the window, that's what I'm going to do.
That is awesome.
Well said.
Coach, you impressed me once with a wonderful PowerPoint presentation that I keep talking about to this day. Mm-hmm. And while we're talking about athletics, we're talking about coaching and sports. One of the things that we all are, and our listeners here, we are pedagogues. We are teachers at heart. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that you did in this PowerPoint and shared in this PowerPoint really, really impressed me. So talk to us a bit, to our listeners a bit about the strategy that you use for recruiting your athletes. Clearly, your pedigree speaks for itself, but
Great question, Dr. Ramsey. You're getting me with these questions. Great questions, though. So with the PowerPoint presentation, when I first started here at this job, I said to myself, well, what is it that I want to bring? What do I want to do? What type of program do I want? And so I had to answer these questions for myself. And that's where I was able to develop the PowerPoint that came with it. And so with the PowerPoint, my very first slide, you know, it's a small little introduction, you know, who I am in regards to my name, the university's name, but I have a purple background. And so with that purple background, it represents royalty. And so I believe all girls, ladies, and women are royalty in some form, shape, or fashion. So when I address my ladies, I address them as queens. And so at first, you wouldn't believe how many of them laughed when I said that. And so at that point, I'm like, would you rather for me to call you a female dog? Like what, you know, and you know, because that's what, I'm not, that's what they're accustomed to, but they're accustomed to not being called positive things that's outside of their name. And so when I address them as queens, they're just like, okay, you know, it was weird at first. And now they're just like, oh, shoot, she said I'm a queen. So I'm a queen. And so it's changing that mindset to let them know that they can be queens and they are queens. And so in order to be a queen, you can't walk around stuck up and conceited. There's a certain way that you have to carry yourself to be one. And so that's the very first slide, is just the color of my PowerPoint. And I explain that to them and what that means. And so as I go through, I always discuss with them the general overview of the PowerPoint, just so they understand, okay, what am I getting into? What am I about to do? What is she about to talk about? And so they have an idea. And that's that whole teacher part of me that comes in. And even though I was a PE teacher, I tell people I wasn't your ordinary PE teacher. I didn't just give you a ball and say, hey, have a good time.
That's,
you
know, the old PE, Coach Grace. Yes. That's the old PE. The new PE, we don't roll out the ball anymore, indeed. Right?
No, it's going to be, or if I roll out the ball, it's part of the game if I had to roll it out, you know.
Right.
But they learn that they are the priority here at the university. You learn that you are entering into a culture that you're going to help make it better. You don't want that culture to go down because you're here. With the PowerPoints, I talk about my coaching philosophy. And my coaching philosophy is to develop the student athlete to flourish in excellence, capable of leadership that translates to strong core values and unwavering character with productive citizenship. So with the PowerPoint, I have the ladies engaged where they have to read out loud to me. And for them, they kind of chuckle a little bit, but they don't know this, but now I'm gonna put it out there. I'm trying to hear, how do you read? Can you comprehend what you're reading? So as they read my philosophy, I always go back and I ask them, what does that mean to you? And then that's when they're like, oh shoot, let me go back and read that again. And they'll go back and read it again. And so I ask them, what are core values? What do you think? Some of them have a hard time with the word core values. And then so I'll ask them, okay, so do you like people to tell lies to you? And of course, nobody should say, yeah, I like people to lie to me every day. No, they do not like it when someone lies to them. So I said, that means you want somebody to be what? And they'll be like, honest. Yes. So honesty is a core value. And so I break it down to where they can have a better understanding. In the PowerPoint, I talk about the objective. Like, what are you doing? We know we want to go to college. We know we want to play a sport. But what are we truly doing with the objective of the program? And so I explain to them that they're going to help improve the program, continue to learn the fundamentals, and just different aspects that they'll definitely learn from me in that aspect. We talk about the program. I talk about with them how it's going to build in a system, how it's going to help them with their growth and them as a person, teachers and coaches working cohesively together. And I like to expand on that part because most NAIA schools are private schools that don't have too many people on campus, but just enough. We're just under 1,000 people on our campus. So we've got about 70 to 80% that are athletes. So most NAIA schools have a high percentage of athletes. And so due to that, a lot of teachers and coaches work together all the time because that's something that we need to do. So I teach the ladies how to have a rapport. Just earlier today, one of my ladies told me, she's like, I forgot to CC on an email because I had them CC me anytime they email the professor because I want to know that they're actually building a relationship. And so she let me know, hey, coach, I talked to my professor about a couple of things, but I forgot to CC you. you know, And so I thanked her for even doing that part. And I said, continue to build a rapport with your professor. I said, because you might need them one day. And so they understand that. They understand that the expectations and guidelines are transparent, and they're going to gain a knowledge and a good foundation of the sport. As we continue to go through, we talk about the importance of their academic strength and their weaknesses. I expressed to them that everybody wants to work on their strengths, but nobody really wants to work on their weaknesses, at least in public anyway. And so I let them know that I'm going to make you uncomfortable on purpose, not to, you know, because I'm mean, but you need to be uncomfortable so you can understand what it feels like and how to navigate when you're uncomfortable and how to learn. And I talk about how they're going to have morals and good work ethic if they don't have it, and they're going to develop it, definitely develop it with me. And there's no way you can be underneath my tutelage and say that you're not a future leader. Because like I said before, this game is bigger than what is bigger than me, is bigger than you. It's just about to blow up. It's just a matter of time. And so they're future leaders because somebody's going to be standing on their backs one day. And so ultimately, they'll become a well-rounded individual at the university. And so when I talk with them about that, like for me, it's not going to be Angelica Grayson. It's going to be Angelica Grayson, the head of flag football coach at the University of St. Mary, who, by the way, is a linebacker for the Texas Elite Spartans. And she does, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's a lot after that. It's a lot of commas. And so I try to get them to understand with their social media, that's important. Yeah. And so I discuss that because I'm turned off when I see a whole lot of bikini and beach pictures like these. Just it's too sexy. Let's put it that way. Especially to be an 18-year-old young lady. It's too sexy for me. I'm not saying you can't express yourself with you know, with being sexy, but you invite the wrong type of people. Let's just put it that way. And then it's hard attention, to get yourself out of, yeah. There we go, attention.
Yes.
With it all.
Right.
During the PowerPoint, I'm an acronym queen. Let me tell you, I'm an acronym queen. I talk about the purpose of flag football. There's an acronym for that. And it's DEEP, and that is develop, enhance, expand, and produce. I discuss everything else from what I expect from them. And so I always tell them, you know, now that you know what is expected for you, don't you want to know what the coaches are going to be doing? You know, you always want to know, okay, the coaches are telling me this, this, and this, what y'all going to be doing? And then, so a lot of times I say, I'm glad you never asked, but I'm going to tell you what we're going to be doing, you know? And so we're visible role models in the hallways from time to time. We build ourselves to help build the athlete. And so that last line, I have to make sure that they understand that when I say build ourselves, that's not a selfish thing. So I explain to them and I ask them, you know, can I pour into you if I have an empty cup? And they'll think about it. I'm like, well, how does she pour into me with an empty cup? And the answer should be no, I cannot pour into you with an empty cup. And then I say, well, if I fill up this cup with water, then can I pour into your cup? And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And that's how the example that I use is I have to go to professional developments, clinics, camps, so that way I can make myself better for you. So we're all getting better in this game. It's not just you getting better. And I'm a holistic coach. I'm going to nurture you and do the best I can to nurture you. And that's the mind, body, and spirit that I like to touch base with. You had a question, Dr. Clemson?
I can tell you, Coach Grayson, I'm ready to come play flag football.
I'm telling you, man.
I'm very impressed. Have you had a chance to go through this presentation recruitment strategy with your administration? They must be just thoroughly impressed with.
They kind of, you know, I have the autonomy to run this program as I will, as I see fit. As long as I'm, you know, within the lines of the university, then I'm fine. They'll let me do anything that I want to do within my budget, of course.
Sure.
And making sure that I'm reaching out to these ladies and I'm available for them when they need me.
Wow. You know, Cope, as you were talking there, Clance, and you were asking that question, and as Coach Grayson was sharing with us her strategy that she used for recruitment, and of course, It's just excited for anyone. And you said you would go play for her. I thought about John Wooden, you know, being a coach, but here it is. She talks about teaching.
Yes.
You know, I keep hearing the word teaching come on. So our listeners are, many of our coaches here, certainly could benefit from hearing that, repeated and enhanced, because, clearly you make a statement by saying that. I appreciate that, hearing that.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
A lot of key features to being a successful coach. Indeed, you mentioned your philosophy, but your leadership and your leadership. Care for the students. It's impressive.
Many coaches also perhaps needed to hear that, you know, I'm coaching you, but I am aware of what's going on in the classes, and I'm here for you. I lend my moral support and my and encouragement. So I
agree. I think, I mean, this episode, we really wanted to dive into an EDI issue when it comes to women in sport and diversity and Title IX. But this easily can, Coach Grayson has already alluded to how talking about coaching leadership and philosophy. Wow. I mean, right. Impressive indeed. I teach a few coaching courses myself, and you've taught me a number of lessons already today. So,
thank you. I didn't know that.
Coach Grayson. You also mentioned mind, body, and spirit, and this is something very important to me. And I know Dr. Ramsey as well. Could you share with our coaches on the podcast, our listeners on the podcast, how you align or embed fitness and wellness as part of your coaching philosophy?
Ooh, well, the fitness and wellness, I try not to do the traditional, you know, get on the line and run, you know. I try to mix it up and do something different. And that's where the PE games come into play.
I love that.
So there's a game, rock, paper, scissors. And so let's say you got 10 people on one side and you got 10 people on the other side. Everybody's lined up one by one, shoulder to shoulder. So the whole team has to decide on what sign they're going to throw out. So let's say one team throws out rock, the other team throws out scissors. So they get 15 seconds to talk about it. So here's where the conditioning comes in at. So they say rock, paper, scissors, shoot. And then if your whole team beats that other team, the whole point is you have to chase them and pull their flag before they cross a certain threshold.
Ah.
And so they have to run, go get their flag, and I don't allow them to walk back to where they started. They have to run back to where they started. And then we do it again. And so those are the different aspects of some of these PE games that come into play, just so that way it helps them. It breaks up the traditional. Now, do I do some traditional stuff from time? Yes. But it breaks up the monotony of, oh my gosh, we have to condition today. And I try to do something a bit different.
Build in conditioning within the flow of practice that kind of thing. Yeah.
And team building activities. Right.
Yes.
Yes. I love doing the team building. We did one like our first practice where they had to get in a team and go 50 yards and set football pads down without touching the grass. Oh. Wow. Not football like your shells, but I meant like the pads that you would run over or hit or anything like that.
Oh, I see.
Those pads. Sure. And so I do my best to do things different. Sometimes I don't do my lesson plans. My practice plans the same.
Almost the same, though, right? Yeah.
It is, especially when it comes down to the time, you know, 4 to 4:15, static dynamic stretching, you know, 4:17 to such and such time. There's 2 minutes missing. That's the water break. Like it's just breaking it all down. And a lot of the times I'll work my practice plans backwards and then go up. And just to make it different. And sometimes I'll start from the beginning and go down.
Right.
Do you mention anything about nutrition at some point? Like, the benefits of good nutrition?
Yes. A lot of them, I don't know what it was, but college students, actually I do know because I was there. They don't like to eat in the cafeteria. I don't mind eating the cafeteria. I don't know what that is, but I tell them though, there's like one of them in particular, for whatever reason, she likes to eat junk, if that. And so she came to practice one time and had to run a little bit. And so here she is, you know, about to pass out. The first thing I asked her, what'd you eat today?
Wow.
And she was like, well, and I was like, there is no way you can be an athlete to your best and not eat. And so I'm talking about the how to eat healthier and have better meals. And the school provides salads every day, you know, and, you know, get you a piece of protein, a piece of chicken, add that to your salad and you're good to go.
Right.
But, you know, they're fancy. They want Taco Bell. They want Wendy's and Chili's and that stuff messes up my stomach today. But,
you know, it's a good point, Coach Grayson, with college students, their schedules are so, you know, out of the ordinary that perhaps their eating schedules are also perhaps, you know, chaotic. So it's good that you address that as well. It's important. I mean, nowadays a coach has to think about a lot more than ever before, I think, when it comes to cultivating a successful culture, for sure.
Yes. It's so much that goes into that besides coaching the game. Yeah. I have to find out where is your mindset? How did you grow up? Why do you think the way you think? You know, because I feel like if I have an understanding, then that player and myself can move forward together. I meet them where they are. I have a player right now that texts me earlier this morning that she's having a tough time with family. And there's a lot of things that's happened with death and her getting over things. And I told her, because there's an anniversary of her grandfather, and I told her, don't prepare for your misery, girl. That's what you're doing. You're preparing for your misery when that date comes up. And so I explained to her, if you don't prepare for your misery, but you prepare for the memories rather than the misery, you will be a whole lot better off. Because when that day comes, then you're going to make yourself shut down. You're going to make yourself be depressed, because that's the day or the anniversary of someone's death. But prepare for the memories other than the misery.
Wow. Wise words. I love it.
What if you were to have one send away message for our listeners as it pertains to coaching flag football, and it could be part of your motto, what would that be? What would that sound like?
There's a few things. A coach of mine, when I first started playing, he said, do the ordinary things extraordinarily well. What that meant for me is, I don't care if I'm a water girl. I don't care if, you know, if I'm flipping burgers or whatever it is that I'm doing. I better do that job to the best of my ability, no matter what it is.
Pride. Yes.
Yes. If you're on a sideline, it doesn't take much to clap. It doesn't take much to give a high five. It doesn't take much. You don't even have to open your mouth, but do the ordinary things extraordinarily well.
Wise words.
Wow.
One, I would add to it what you mentioned, Coach Grayson, and you taught me, again, means a lot to me when you said, I've already thought about it, but meet the athlete where they are. You just said that really speaks to me. And I think, meet the athlete where you are, to take them on the next journey ahead. Right. I think those are really wise words. I'm very impressed, Coach Grayson. Indeed.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I tell them we're in a relationship. Sure. This is not going to be 70-30. This is going to be 50-50. Exactly. And, you know, many of them are relationships now, and they, you know, they talk to me about them, and they're learning. What's funny, the stuff that they learn from me, they try to take into the relationships, and they'll say, oh, coach, they're not communicating. They're not doing this. And then I say, you have to meet them where they are.
Right.
You have to teach them. You got to teach people how to treat you. And so these are things that, you know, I wish somebody told me, you know, when I was in my early 20s. There's one thing that I will say to all the coaches is get an understanding before you want to get down your player's throat. So I had a player that came late, and she's been consistently late, and, you know, she's getting the consequences, but she's coming late. And so as a coach, I want to say a whole lot of stuff. And I said, wait, let me take a step back. Let me talk with her. And then when she spilled the beans, then it was like, I am glad that I did not chew her out like I really wanted to. Because that would have just broke her spirit. It would have broke everything about that young lady. But because I have an understanding, you know, then at that point, I recommend, let me see about you going to a counselor. Let me talk with you. Let me embrace you. Let me hug you. So that way I can give you some positive energy. And so they know that I'm there. I do my best to give them the resources to help them through everything.
I mean, we're all guilty of it. Sometimes we react and we fail to find out more, and we look back and we think, oh, wow, I wish I would have found that out first.
Yep. Even as teachers.
Absolutely. In any profession, make connections, right? Make connections.
Yes.
find like out even what's as going teachers, on. Yes,
like you, you have a student that comes in, they don't have a pencil, but as you know, we can flip a little bit from time to time. You don't have a pencil, why don't you? But we never know what it with that young
what's
student.
The consequence.
Absolutely. Yeah, we never knew what it went what they went through that morning.
Make
you know?
Connections, mm-hmm. teachers, wow. any parents, any profession. We can always get better at that.
Great yes. advice.
Well, what do you think, Dr. Ramsey?
I am blown away. Absolutely. Indeed. I think that our listeners got a lot out of this today, and I for sure learned so much. And
I
thank
agree,
you.
Coach Grayson.
I got more than I expected, you know, learning here. So many strategies I can't wait to take back and absolutely. Looking forward to.
You scored several touchdowns today, Coach Grayson.
And tackles. And you did some tackles. And some tackles, too.
Yep. Well, on behalf of New York State AFRI, we'd like to thank Coach Grayson for joining us today to share her thoughts and perspectives. The session will be posted on New York State AFRI website on our podcast channel. Stay tuned for new and exciting episodes scheduled later in the spring.
Please visit us on NewYorkStateAFRI.org, social media at handles at New York State, or call us at 315-823-1015 for more information. Please also take note for our many professional development events throughout the year. We have our conferences coming up, some of them in the summer, some coming in November, one coming in November, and certainly stay abreast with everything that we offer on our website. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have a good one.